Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to see you this morning. And welcome to the Not Sure Zone. Is it still summer?
Yes.
Not sure, no. Has autumn started yet? See, 3 days ago I'd have said no chance. But it's been a bit autumnal, hasn't it, the last few days. I got wet at work on Friday. I haven't done that for a while. I've got here, are the kids back at school yet? But we've already established they're going back this week. Are the students here yet? Not sure. There's at least one. There is one. How many families are still away? Not sure. No, it's that kind of time of year, isn't it? Is it too early to mention Christmas yet? Oh, we're sure about one thing. Is this weekend a full turnout, or are we still in the lull? We hope we're still in the lull, don't we? We're not sure. Which week do we start the new preaching series? Not sure. What should we schedule for this week? No, not sure. This is the Not Sure Zone. We've spent 4 weeks. We've stepped out. We've stepped forward. We've stepped up. We've stepped in. I was really gutted not to be doing the stepping in week, because I was going to tell you all the stories of the things I've stepped in over the years. Yeah, that's why you let Jill do that one, isn't it? These have been great short messages on positive steps in our Christian lives. Today, we're going to have one long message on dealing with a negative step. So this is not part of that series. That was a nice, neat and tidy series. This is attached to the end and turned upside down. This is the cautionary tale of stepping on. Have you ever been stepped on? Have you ever stepped on somebody else? We know that the first sin in the Bible, you know, that's known as the original sin because it was the first one. That gets loads of attention. It's Adam, Eve, the snake, disobeying God, the fall, separation between man and God, the reason we need salvation, the chasm of distance that only the death and resurrection of Jesus is able to bridge. That's the OG sin. That's the original sin. That's in Genesis chapter 3, if you want to read about that. But what about the second sin? What about Genesis chapter 4? Adam and Eve had two sons. Well, these were their first two sons. They look at the maths and the logic. There must have been others. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Now, all good Bruce Springsteen fans will know that one of those was a bad'un and one was a good'un. Adam raised a Cain. Fantastic song. It's the only way I can keep them apart in my head. There is jealousy between the two sons. Cain thinks Abel is the favorite. I mean, this is sibling rivalry is as old as the Bible. Cain thinks Abel is the favorite. He is jealous. He wants what Abel has, so he steps on him. That's what we do when we get jealous, when we want something that somebody else has got, we can step on them. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Cain was jealous. He wanted what he hadn't earned. Cain took what was not his. And spoiler alert, it didn't end well for Cain or for Abel. Stepping on people is something that hurts both ways. So if original sin is the origin of the separation of man and God, people stepping on people is the origin of the separation of people and people. The drive is understandable. I know we're all Jesus' little sunbeams. I know that is a fact. You know, I look out here and I see wonderful examples of Christian faith in action. But there is also within us a part which is not particularly Christian. We know this, don't we? This is not something I'm telling you new. The drive is understandable because we are programmed to want more. We're programmed. It's a survival instinct. We're programmed to gain, to amass, to compete, to succeed. Since the fall, we have, as an entire human race, had the impulse to climb socially, financially. We want it. If it's there, we want it. Status, career, we want it. We want it all. We want to be the top dog. Those of you guys that are at work, you know there's always somebody in the company that wants to be higher than they are. Might be us, might be somebody else. Within the family, there's always somebody scheming. There's always somebody applying a little pressure. I've had to visit a number of nursing homes when I was a pastor. I don't ever want to go there when I'm old, but you have to go in there. And there's always, who's got the controller for the telly? It's usually Bill. And Bill's been scheming for 7 years to get that controller from Ethel. In the end, Ethel, well, bless her. I had to see Ethel at work one day. And Bill's now got the controller. On the road, traffic. Why is traffic? Traffic is largely caused by people being impatient. Not waiting. Because they want it. In a queue. I mean, the Americans think the British are obsessed with queuing. Right, they think that we've got it all sorted, that we stand in a queue peacefully waiting our turn. What they don't understand is the seething anger that goes on within the average English person. We are more alert than a bunch of meerkats standing on their back legs on the prairie. Because we know that's my place in the queue, and I will defend it with my life. And I am alert to every possible threat to my place in the queue. Somebody's just opened a door. That's a new threat. Do they know the rules? Are they going to... Oh, they've joined the back of the queue. That's fantastic. Fantastic. They know the rules. That's good. Somebody else has come in the door. Do they? They don't know the rules. And at that point, every English person in the queue closes ranks and works as one unit to put them in their place. But we want what we haven't got. The drive is understandable. We are programmed to want more. If there is a ladder, we are predisposed to ascend it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground. Original sin not only brought separation, it brought struggle. And the struggle is grounded in the fall. It's grounded in the need for survival. How best do we deal with the struggle? We can step in, we can step forward, we can step up, we can step out, or we can step on others. These are not equal options. I'm not presenting a choice here. Just to be clear, God only has one option, and stepping on other people is not it. I'm sorry to labour this point, but we are currently living through, and we will live through, a period of international stepping on leadership. When the historians reflect on this time, they will call it an era of bullies. Cooperation is out of fashion. I don't know if you've noticed this. Compromise is a dirty word. Corruption is the new normal. It's happened before, it will happen again. But our role is to keep reminding people that just because it seems like bullying is allowed, doesn't mean bullying's okay. What does the Bible say? In Leviticus 25:17, it says, "Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. I am the Lord your God." I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Exodus 22:22, "Do not take advantage of the widows or the fatherless." Proverbs 22:22. There's a lot of 22s in this. And verse 23, throw that one in for free. "Do not exploit the poor because they're poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case." Zechariah 7, verse 10. "Do not oppress the widows or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other." You know, we're catching the heart of God here. Isaiah 10, 1 and 2. "Woe to those who make unjust laws." This is not just an individual thing. This is a systemic thing as well. "Woe to those who make unjust laws to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed." Notice the same people are being stepped on again and again. So if you notice that, as we went through those verses, there are two or three groups of people. It's the poor, it's the fatherless, the foreigner, the widow. These are not groups of people chosen at random. They all have one thing in common. It's that they don't have power. In the society of that day, all of those groups were powerless. They couldn't defend themselves. We don't tend to step on people who are stronger than us, do we? Why not? Because we're going to get our backsides beaten and shown the door. We step on people who can't defend themselves, or we think we've got a pretty good chance of beating. That's what we do. So the guys at the weakest end of society, they end up getting stepped on more than anybody else. We step on people who can't fight back. We choose easy targets. Here's the key point. Proverbs 14, verse 31. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honours God. Right, that's the key point. When we step on people, we're forgetting that God created those people and loves those people. And when he created those people, he created them of absolute equal worth with everybody else. Right? People are not all the same, but they are all loved the same and valued the same by God. Right? We are all individuals. We are not cookie cutter people. We all have different talents, abilities, we all have different weaknesses, we all have different temptations. We are different, let's celebrate the differences, but we are all loved equally and completely and valued equally and completely by God. And when we step on someone, what we're doing is we're saying, I'm taking the place of God. Because I'm putting myself above you. We play God at that point, and he doesn't like that. Here's how it's supposed to work. I'll let you into a secret. It's my favorite bit of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. This is, if you ever find me with a tattoo of a Bible verse, it'll be this. Listen carefully. And actually listen to the words. Let this sink in. I used to have to listen to this at the end of every school term at the senior school I went to. This passage was read out at the final assembly. It was an old-fashioned school. 1551 it was started. We're talking old-fashioned. If I make it to 2051, I can go to the 500th anniversary. And at the end of every single term, we had a final assembly, and they would read this passage of the Bible. And it says, love is patient and kind. Right? These are not hard-hitting words. They're not dramatic words. These are not action movie words. But they are words that can change the world. Right? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy. Right? Doesn't want what you've got, and it doesn't boast. Look at me, I'm better than you. It's not arrogant, and it's not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful? You know, are we hearing this? This is what love isn't. So what we're aiming for is the opposite of this. It's to be all these, to be the opposite of these things. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. You got it wrong. Showing yourself up, Muppet. But love rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Do you know, the very essence of love is, I want you to win. I want you to win. I want to win as well, but I want you to win. I don't want to win if it means you losing. I want you to win. The very essence of the mindset of God is love. It's what drove creation. It's what drove Jesus. It's what drives the Holy Spirit. It's what drives Christians today. There is no such thing as ruthless Christianity. It's a contradiction in terms. There's no such thing as competitive Christianity. We have passionate Christianity. We have ambitious Christianity. But the things we are passionate about and ambitious for are the things of love and grace and acceptance and forgiveness and kindness. Against such things there is no law, because there's no need for restriction and reduction in those things. Who wants to put a boundary around kindness? So when we find a person who lives out 1 Corinthians 13, it's like finding pure gold, isn't it? Somebody who is actually living that. It's pure gold. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 9 tells us that whoever walks in integrity walks securely. There's a passage in Galatians 5 as well, it's verses 13 to 15, that summarize all of this. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh," brackets, to step on other people, close brackets. "But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite or devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another." Stepping on needs to jog on. In the plan of God, nobody wins unless everybody wins. That's how it works. This message began with a welcome to the not sure zone. Hopefully we've established at least one certainty. Stepping on others is no way to get anywhere that God wants us to be. Would the band come and join me, please? We're going to pray. It's not a kind of a salvation-y sort of message. But I do very much understand the depth of the drive. I am not standing here as somebody who says, I've got this all sorted out. The depth of the drive to to climb the ladder. The depth of the temptation to take a shortcut by stepping on somebody else, to take credit for what they've done, to maneuver them out the way. It is a deeply, deeply seated thing. So can we stand together? We're going to pray against some of these things. We're going to pray against selfishness and jealousy and greed and that impulse to step on people. And we're going to pray for generosity of spirit and confidence in our own worth and the ability to judge the influences of others. Lord, we stand before you as people who want to get it right, but so often don't. Lord, we in our clear thinking days, and in our when we're on good form, we do this. Lord, we know these truths. But Lord, you know that deep inside us there is a competitive instinct. There is a hunger to progress, and very often we take the shortcut. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand and to minimize jealousy, greed, selfishness in our lives. Help us to understand that often the things we're striving for are really not worth striving for. They're certainly not worth paying the cost for. Lord, if you want those things for us, we will have them anyway. We don't have to step on other people to get there. Lord, I pray that you would crucify the impulse to step on other people. Lord, will you release within us a generosity of spirit? Lord, we know it's going to cost us. It's not about bookkeeping. It's not about I've given this, so you've got to give that. It's not about keeping a track of who owes you what. Generosity of spirit keeps no record of wrongs or even particularly rights. But it just is released and released and released and released. Lord, will you help us to understand just how much you love us and just how much we are worth to you? So much of this is rooted in the fact that we don't think we're worth it. We don't think we are going to be raised up in any other way than through illegitimate means. Now, will you give us confidence in our own worth? Will you give us discernment to judge the influence of others? Lord, the role models around us, particularly in politics at the moment, they're just not great. They may be great at some things, but they're not great at this. And Lord, help us to observe and to see and to not assume that everything somebody else does is all right. But give us the discernment, the ability to judge the influence of others. Lord, we want to succeed. We want to do great things for you. But we want to do them the right way. And we want to do them in unison with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't want to step on anybody to get to anywhere. Thank you, Lord. Amen.